Joining me now is Bruce Williamson of Rail Future. Joins me now. Bruce, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Perhaps you could just explain a little bit more about what it is that Network Rail are looking for and what's the bit of the business that they're most interested in.
Well, very obviously, Network Rail has a business that is, does exactly what it says on the tin, doesn't it, really, in a way? It's running the railways from a sort of a track point of view, and those tracks consist of rails which wear out and they need replacing on a regular basis. And so Network Rail's whole business depends on a steady supply of rails, and there's only one place you can buy them from in this country, and it seems pretty reasonable that they want to guarantee supply of those rails to keep its business running. And if the business has folded, well, why not buy it and bring it all in-house?
It does make one wonder why on earth it was sold by the government in the first place.
Well, you'll have to ask the government that. What you mean Network Rail or British Steel?
A British Steel, that if, for example, the biggest customer and the only customer of a particular part of the business is there, and this is not the first time that we've seen British Steel end up in trouble, one has to wonder why on earth we're putting it through market rigors. I mean, does this element of British Steel sell to anybody else, or is it only to Network Rail?
I dare say it does have some foreign sales as well. But I mean, obviously British Steel as a business was doing all right as a standalone business. And even actually, strangely, even a year ago, it was doing very well. But I think it's sort of Brexit uncertainty and the collapse in the price of the pound has had an impact on its profitability. And that's why, British Steel as is in liquidation now.
So this is kind of interesting in terms of Grable Capital. They're seeking a further loan. They were unsuccessful. We now end up in the situation where possibly the business gets broken up. From what I can see, Network Rail, they own and operate the UK's rail network, 20,000 miles of track. They buy 100,000 tons of steel every year. In terms of their replacement program, is it enough? And are they doing the right things and replacing the right things?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, these things wear out. And it's, if you like, a mature and established part of the business that they need these rails replaced on a regular basis. So when they say 100,000 tons, I'm sure that's based on a lot of experience of replacing rails. So, you know, I think there's no doubt that they need it. Obviously, you can take a holiday from rail replacement and get away with it for a bit, but of course you then create a backlog. So, you know, for a sound business plan for Network Rail, they need this source of replacement rails.
And as we try and understand what the I suppose what the future is here for the business, do you think that this is something that the rail organisation, the rail company, should be thinking about? And is this the right use of their money, which is ultimately taxpayers' money?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. I mean, they've said, actually, that they would prefer that the whole business was, you know, kept intact and sold to someone else or saved in some way. But, yeah, I mean, I think it is sound use of taxpayers' money, if it comes to that, because, you know, it is essential for its own business. The consequence of letting the company fold entirely and not buying it out would be that they've got to shop around abroad for rail, and I think they'd rather buy it from a British company that's got an established record and they've dealt with for years up to now.
Now, it won't have escaped your attention that we have a leadership change on the way. We have the Tory leadership campaign, which is in full swing. We have the Labour Party, who are clearly very keen to push for a general election. We've had nothing other than Brexit of recent years. The rail system in the UK requires radical either investment or change. If you were pushing for policy changes, what would you be pushing for right now?
I think it's got to be just long-term steady investment in the railway. You know, the railway has suffered for decades from lack of investment, and even when investment has come, it's been feast and famine, and that's bad for the railway. Railway needs a sort of steady, because it's a long-term business. Rail planners need to plan their business 20, 30 years down the line. And that's why you need that stability of investment.
So when it comes to amounts of investment, how much more does the government need to put into the rail network, in your view?
Well, it's a bit of a how long is a piece of string, isn't it? You know, I mean, I think that obviously as a rail campaigner, I'm going to say the more the merrier, but I'm not asking for a ridiculous blank check. I think you have to be careful about how you spend money. But rail investment is a very sound investment. It pays dividends many times over down the line. But like I say, because it's so long term, it tends to be less attractive to government than other things that deliver a quick fix. And that's why sometimes rail investment schemes get sent to the back of the queue, which is, you know, it's very frustrating for us.
I can imagine it is. It's frustrating for all. Would you be advocating bringing back some of the rail back into public ownership, or does that not really sort of feature for you? Does that not really make a difference? Is it just simply investment, whoever does it?
Yeah, I think largely. I mean, if you know, let's bear in mind that, you know, we have had parts of the railway renationalised, and whilst it works, you know, what was it, Northeast, the East Coast Main Line was renationalised twice, you know, and it carried on running. But here's the key point: it carried on running with the same trains to the same timetable, staffed by the same people. So, you know, a change of ownership won't have that significant an impact, I think.
And in terms of the changes that people put forward, I mean, are you in favour, for example, of HS2? Would you prefer to see that money is reinvested elsewhere? And what's going to have the best impact, if you like, for the economy as we think again about the future for this country?
Well, many people say this, you know, is HS2 the right way to spend the money? Should we be investing in, you know, upgrading other lines? But I think we shouldn't see it as an either or thing. We have a situation where rail passenger numbers have doubled over the last 20 years, and that growth shows no sign of slowing. So we need the investment in, you know, new lines to deliver that capacity that we need. And in addition to that, quite clearly, our existing lines need ongoing investment and upgrading.
Just finally to you, as we think about the biggest problem, if you like, facing the rail industry, is it about capacity? Is it about the numbers of trains? Is it about changing the amount of track? What are the key priorities, would you say, for the organisation going forward?
Yeah, capacity definitely is one of those themes that comes up time and time again. You know, your listeners might even be on a train right now, you never know. And anyone who regularly uses the railway, particularly as a commuter, will know that there's a real problem with capacity on the trains themselves. And of course, that can only be relieved either by lengthening trains or by increasing the number of trains that run, and that requires investment in the track itself. You know, many of our lines are running at absolute capacity. You just can't squeeze any more trains in. So that's one of the reasons why we support schemes like HS2.
Well, indeed. Thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning, Bruce. Much appreciated. That's Bruce Williamson of Rail Future talking about not only Network Rail bidding for parts of British Steel. Seems to make